Will you pray with me? Dear gracious God, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude to say thank you. But we thank you for your faithfulness. For you are a good. You are a great. You are a mighty God, and you are great. Greatly to be praised, and we will praise your name, God. Lord, we thank you because for all the things that we stand in the need of, you are faithful. We lift up our prayers to you and you answer. We tell you what we need and you provide. We have sickness in our bodies and you heal. We suffer persecution and you defend. We feel unsafe and you protect. God, we thank you because you do all these things and we are so undeserved. And so, God, we just thank you because you love us so much. And there's nothing we can do to deserve your love, but we do commit our lives to you. And so, God, in this moment, we receive a word from you. Speak to us, God. Your people are anxious to hear from you. Transform us. Allow us to move by you. Guide us by your spirit. Open our ears so that we may hear. And we will be ever so careful to walk by your spirit and to do your will. We give you glory and we give you praise. For it is in your Son's, Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen, amen. Well, hello, everyone. I am Dani Kilgore, and I am the lead pastor here at Church Without Walls, Berkeley. And I want to welcome you all to our church. And whether you are joining us for the first time, you've come for a few times, or you are catching us on our podcast, I want to say we are grateful that you have chosen to be with us today. To gather and worship, to grow together. I am thrilled to be with you as we embark on a transformative journey in our new series called The Hospitality of Jesus. Now, this isn't just another set of teachings. It's an invitation to open our hearts and explore how Jesus's spirit of hospitality calls us to deeper relationships. Not just with him, but with one another. And as we walk through this Lenten season, let's be ready to embrace the ways God invites us to connect, to heal, and to love. And with that in mind, let's turn our hearts to scriptures for today's sermon. So if you have your Bibles with me, with you, turn to Luke chapter 4. Verse 14 through 21. They were read earlier, but if you joined us a little after the verses were read, I'm going to read them again. That's Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21. And as always, they will be provided on the screen. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21 read, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom
for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Verse 20. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The title of my sermon is An Invitation to Community, the launch of Jesus's ministry. So a while back, I hosted a Thanksgiving dinner at our cozy 936 square foot home, inviting two of my husband's seven siblings and their partners to our house, not including the three of us that also live there. Now, coming from the South, you know, you're supposed to have this sense of hospitality in you. So I felt this pressure to create this warm and inviting space. Now, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. And so early on in our marriage, we had committed that we weren't going to travel. This was going to be our holiday where we establish our own tradition. But I realized that after moving to California, my husband was missing his family. So I told him, just this once, we can have your family over. So I spent days preparing every room, making sure it was perfect, all three of them. Snacks were laid out. I made sure all the meals were ready. And the moment the doors were open, they all walked in, chaos let loose. People were hovering over me while I cooked, critiquing every move I made. His sister was like, the toilet tissue turned the wrong way, as if I was committing some type of sin. And it wasn't the wrong way, it was my way.
Okay.
When I thought everything was under control, one of his sisters suggested they wanted to make a makeshift fire pit in our backyard. I was like, in California, where you sneeze and a fire break loose? In our tiny space? Absolutely not. I kept thinking, oh, Lord, why did I agree to this? Everywhere I turned, someone was asking for something. Can I borrow that blanket on your bed? On my bed? Where's the other bathroom? We only have two. Do you have any extra napkins? Extra? Y'all done used up all the napkins. I felt like I was running a one-woman restaurant. The stress kept coming on me to be excited and keep the smile on my face as everyone kept asking for things over 4 days. At one point, I was so frazzled, I forgot to put the dessert for Thanksgiving in the oven. They were like, what happened to the sweet potato pie? I was like, oh, it's still on the kitchen counter. I forgot to put it in the oven. But the best part was when everybody fell asleep from the food coma. I was like, oh, this is the best part of the day. Everybody was asleep. And I just quietly cleaned up the remnants of what was supposed to be a perfect gathering. But amidst of all of the hustle and bustle, I learned about my brother-in-law's new album that he was launching. We celebrated my sister-in-law's passing of her med school test. I got to hear stories about their childhood that brought back memories that my husband got to share about their childhood, and the joy of seeing him reconnect with his family made all the difference. And the best part was watching my daughter create bonds with her aunts and her uncles that enriched her love for family. Now, it wasn't the most ideal Thanksgiving. It wasn't flawless, but it was a time filled with memories and love. My daughter and I are reading C.S. Lewis Chronicles of Narnia right now, and I've been doing a deep dive on who he is. And he had a quote, and it says, "Friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, 'What, you too? I thought I was the only one.'" That's the essence of hospitality. It's not about perfection. It's about intention, connection, and love. You know, as we embark on our Lenten journey, we take this time to deeply reflect on Jesus' ministry and his radical mission to create a more hospitable world. One where we all recognize and embrace our identity as God's beloved children. You know, this season invites us to consider how to embody this sacrificial expression of hospitality that Jesus beautifully modeled throughout his life. You know, in his ministry, Jesus consistently welcomed the outcast, shared meals with those deemed unworthy, and extended his love to everyone, regardless of their past or present circumstance. He showed us that genuine hospitality transcends mere acts of kindness. It fosters environments where individuals feel valued, seen, and loved. You know, this call to hospitality is not always easy. It requires us to step out of our comfort zone and give of ourselves, our time, our energy, and our resources. You know, just as Christ embraced the complexity and messiness of life and relationships, we are invited to do the same. You know, in those challenging moments, we reflect on the heart of Jesus and contribute to the transformation of lives and communities. You know, in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, we witness Jesus stepping boldly into his ministry, declaring his mission to bring good news to the poor and freedom to the oppressed. This message is powerful, is a powerful reminder to our lives or to our call to live out the mission in our lives. You know, as we journey through Lent, let us commit to embodying a spirit of hospitality. Let us commit to creating spaces of love and acceptance that mirror an inclusive type of hospitality, which is the nature of God's kingdom. You know, after facing that temptation in the wilderness, Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit, teaching in synagogues and making quite the name for himself. He was preaching powerful messages. So then here comes Jesus strolling into Nazareth, and he opens up a scroll that was of Isaiah. And so then he starts to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind. Family must have been electric in that synagogue. Can you imagine the community? I can imagine them saying, oh, this is our guy. At least that's what I would have been saying. He's here to lift us up. It had to be a beautiful moment, filled with hope, belonging, reminding everyone they are seen, they are valued. It had to be a blessing. Can you imagine it? Jesus, their very own, standing right there in front of them, telling them they too matter. Think about it. People were telling them that nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And yet, here's Jesus, someone from their own town, telling them the good news. These verses show Jesus' deep connection with people, don't you think? By proclaiming good news to the poor, he was calling out to the marginalized and those often pushed aside, demonstrating that his ministry was always about compassion and care. Jesus didn't just stand back and preach from a distance. No, he got right in there. He preached to those that were suffering and struggling. He preached to those that were right around him. His words weren't just lofty ideals. They were declarations of hope and promises of transformation for those who needed it most. Now, when he talked about freedom and healing, he was inviting people into relationship where they could find liberation from their burdens. That message hit home for so many of us longing for acceptance, and understanding and healing for our own lives.
But let me tell you, though, Jesus went out of his way to return home. He went out of his way to share the good news, to make space for his hometown people. He poured out his heart to bring hope to those that lived in Nazareth. But instead of being embraced, he was shunned. Can you believe that? It had to be heartbreaking, especially when he cared so deeply for them. And we too have been there, haven't we? We go out of our way to make space for people. We can be so generous to give of ourselves, to be so hospitable to others, even when it costs us so much. We put ourselves out there only to be met with ungratefulness. It's like helping someone up when they fall, only to have them kick dirt in our face. It stings. But then we see in Luke 4:24, Christ says, a prophet is not accepted in his hometown. And at his home, it shows the vulnerability of his mission. Even when he was surrounded by familiar faces, Christ stayed committed to reaching out, connecting with his community, even when they didn't welcome him. It's a powerful reminder that the call to hospitality and connection is still important, even when folks aren't ready to welcome you with open arms. Now, I remember a time in fifth grade, and I say fifth grade, you know the movie In and Out, Inside Out, core memories? I'm sharing a core memory. So in fifth grade, I had moved from Arkansas to Texas, and I was a little different because I grew up in, I was a country girl, real country, moving to the South. And I was different. I dressed different. I talked different. I spoke a little differently. And so I thought I was being welcomed. I thought my classmates had accepted me. They played with me at recess. They included me in the group games. I didn't get picked last. So I thought, okay, we're friends. So my birthday came around and I planned a skating rink birthday party. And I was excited. Only for the day to arrive, I was heartbroken because only one person showed up. You know, at that moment, I felt the weight of rejection. And I questioned whether I had genuinely belonged, if I had misread those connections. It was painful. It had highlighted my vulnerability reaching out to others, trying to create spaces for connection. But here's the twist. That one person that showed up became my best friend all the way through high school. And we even talk still today. You know, the thought of opening our hearts and homes can be daunting. What if our invitations are met with indifference or rejection? You know, this aligns with Jesus' words in Luke 14:18-19. Where he invites us into community and challenges us to recognize the power of our connections and unique. What does that look like today? It's about recognizing the unique gifts we each offer, whether it's a talent for storytelling, being a great listener, or creating welcoming spaces. We're asked to lean into the gifts. Don't go away from them, but still lean into them. Jesus shows us that sacrificial hospitality is to help others know God. We are called to share our gifts and to develop connections that reflect his love. I remember my vision for dinner with the pastor, a gathering for new folks in our church community. See, I wanted to create a warm space where everyone felt welcome and could build relationships. But when I was thinking about it, I had a flashback to my Thanksgiving thought, too. And I said, I'm going to need some help. So I connected with the best host I knew, the amazing Chin family, and my assistant, Hadassah. I said, yep, I need two people to help me. So if I try to do this on my own, it's going to be pure chaos. So
With their help, we pulled off a fabulous dinner that was warm and inviting. Family, had I tried to do this on my own, it would have been a disaster. We wouldn't have had food. People would have been confused where to go. Guest list would have looked interesting. It would have been a great idea, but it would have been missing a lot because I would have been operating outside my strengths. My strength in hospitality was gathering people, but not event planning, not logistics. When we recognize and embrace our strengths, that's when genuine connections can flourish. Jesus invites us into a community where we celebrate our differences and find our strength in our unity. You know, hospitality isn't a call for all extroverts to rise up. No, it's our opportunity to find that who are you calling me to be? What's my unique call as you invite me to be more hospitable the way you are? You know, as the late civil rights leader James Cone once said, the cross is a reminder that we are all called to make sacrifices for the sake of others. You know, that's a powerful truth, especially during Lent, as we reflect on Christ's journey. The call to unite, lift each other up, and spread that love around the world. You know, the main takeaway here is that genuine relationship blossoms when we allow ourselves to be. True hospitality isn't about having everything perfect. It's about being real, about sharing our lives. Just like Jesus opened his arms wide to welcome everyone, no matter their background, we're called to create spaces where folks feel welcomed, they feel valued, they feel accepted for who they are. When we embrace our unique gifts and dive into community, we shine a light on the heart of Christ in our interaction. Authenticity is always. It's through being our true selves that we build deeper connection. 1 Peter 4:8 through 10 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And this is a picture of me and my grandfather and my nephew when he was, I think, 3 or 4. In our, what's called a home corner store in the South, you had families that would have corner stores inside them. I learned that families would create corner stores in their homes because they weren't allowed to shop in the local corner store. I learned that just like, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago from my mother. I thought it was just something that my grandparents just kind of made up. So growing up in my grandparents' house, we had what was known as the come on in policy, which is like another way of saying the door is open always to anybody. It's like, come on in policy. The door is always open to anyone who would want to come in. You want a meal? Come on in. You want to sit down? Come on in. You want to chat? Come on in. You want to take a load off? Come on in. Didn't matter who you were. Come on in. I remember a time it was raining outside and a little British man was selling Encyclopedia Britannicas. And my grandmother said, come on in. And my aunt was like, I think he's trying to sell some. She's like, it's okay. Come on in. And he came on in. And he sold his Britannica, Encyclopedia Britannicas, but he also ate food with us too. So, because he came on in. Our house was always packed with somebody. And I must admit, I did not like that. Everybody was always in our house. Always. It annoyed me. And my grandmother would always say, Danielle, make space. Your cousin so-and-so coming. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, again? And I would get in trouble because I would hear the door open 3-4 times for somebody else coming in. But it was one day when I would get in trouble with my attitude where things changed. Because I overheard my grandmother sitting at the kitchen table ministering to a young woman in tears, helping her through a difficult trial in her time. And then I walked and I overheard my aunt and another family member joyfully reminiscing over someone who had passed a few months ago. They were reminiscing on some things about them. I also remember my cousins playing video games with some neighborhood kids in his bedroom. I remember hearing my sister gabbing loud with her boyfriend on the phone. And I also remember seeing my uncle in a garage with the brothers from the neighborhood. They weren't saying much. They were just in the garage, taking a load off, drinking some cold drinks, watching the cars go by. At that moment, I realized our house had become a place of refuge. It was more than just a gathering space. It was a sanctuary for connection, for healing, and for support. So I chose to do my part. I did something that only I could do. I chose to go to every location where everyone was and annoy the heck out of everybody, which made everybody upset and laugh at the same time. You know, that realization resonates deeply with the words of 1 Peter 4:8. You know, just as my grandparents opened their homes to everyone, we are called to love each other deeply, to offer hospitality without grumbling in our own way. You know, the scripture perfectly complements Jesus' messages. We are called to actively engage in love and service, reinforcing our commitment to community. Each of us have a unique gift to serve. My granny used to say this: we may not feel we belong everywhere, but everyone will know they belong here. Family, can this be our prayer for our church? That we may not feel we belong everywhere, but can everyone know they belong here? Everyone should know that they belong at Church Without Walls. I want to invite Derek. I want to invite us to participate in a worship stage. In the back, you are going to see some pens and some slips of paper. And I want you to take a moment to think about the people in your life, friends, family, coworkers, even some acquaintances, whom you feel you've been called to experience more love of Jesus through them, whether that's by inviting them to experience our church or just be in more deep of community with them. I want you to write their names down, first names only, and drop them in that basket. And then there are some invite cards. Take one, take two, take three. Prayerfully consider whether you could ask that card to them and invite them to be in community. This act should symbolize your commitment to extend an act of hospitality in community. It's a tangible reminder of your intention to create space for others to encounter Christ's love. We want to take a moment to reflect that Christ is inviting us to spread his love in this world. Now, this isn't merely a task, but a sacred mission, a call to Christ's divine action. Jesus's sacrificial hospitality is displayed throughout this Lenten season. And every week, we'll have a different practice that we'll experience. Family, I want us to leave this space knowing that we carry the light of Christ, that we carry the joy of Jesus, that his abundance lives in us.
step boldly into our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and let the love of Christ flow through. Amen.